Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines. Today's episode is brought to you by Amazon.com. If you plan on doing any online shopping, it's not too late. You can still get stuff for the holidays. Go to OTRWesterns.com/Amazon. Again, OTRWesterns.com/Amazon. Let's get into today's episode. Today's episode is going to be Challenge of the Yukon. Original air date is December 6, 1947, and the title is The Marked Cards. Hope you enjoy. This quality's not so good. And let's get into it.
The Challenge of the Yukon. It's King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the North Country, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police. In his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
Untangle! You husky!
Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike and the greedy race for riches. Now back to the days of the gold rush, when Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog King battled through storm and snow to preserve law and order as they met the challenge of the Yukon. It was almost midnight when Jeff Moore returned to his small cabin near the outskirts of Moose Crossing. As he entered, a big gray dog was there to greet him. The dog had the slanting eyes of a wolf, and many of his characteristics were more like a wolf than a dog. His loyalty to Jed, however, proclaimed his dog heritage. Jed was Lobo's god, and no other man could touch him.
Well, Lobo,
fella, you should have been with me tonight.
What a night!
We're rich, old boy. Look at the gold I won. Lady Luck was sitting right on my lap. One, two, three of them. It's a fortune, Lobo. What is it?
Hey,
that's your corner, boy. You can't take a chance of me taking Mike's hand off.
I took all his money away from him at poker, and that's enough for one night.
There you are.
Hurry up. Get this gold out of here.
Well, I'm coming. I thought you went straight home from the
silver slipper. Sure that wolf dog is tied up good?
Sure, I chained him before I let you in. Down, Lobo.
That gold there on the table, you winners tonight?
It sure is. I did right well.
Yeah. Part of that gold is mine.
You mean it was yours, Mike. But I won it fair and square. The trouble with you is you drink too much when you play poker. Drinking and gambling don't mix well. You need a clear head.
I want my money back, yeah. Mm-hmm. I need it. A friend of mine came into town today. He thinks he's got some pay dirt and wants me to go in with him. We'll need supplies.
Well, you should have thought of that sooner, Mike. Why'd you gamble if you needed the money?
Because I needed more than I had.
Well, then I don't see how it would help you if I gave you back what you lost.
Now look, give me another chance. I got a deck of cards here and some money that I borrowed from this friend of mine.
Mike, it's late.
Oh, so you won't give me another chance.
Oh, well, all right. Come on, sit down. Turn the lantern up a little so as we can see.
God, look at the bags of gold. I didn't realize you won so much time.
You weren't the only loser. There were lots of people in that game, and the stakes were high.
There must be pretty near 15,000 here.
Closer to 10, I think. Well, go ahead and deal the cards. How much do you want to bet?
Well, $1,050.
You ain't fooling, are you? Well, I'd like to cut those cards if you don't mind.
Sure. Here you are.
Hey, wait a minute. Mike, you should know better than this.
What's this?
I didn't win at poker tonight because of beginner's luck. I've been playing this game for over 30 years.
Well, what of it?
Don't you think by now I'd know a few of the tricks? Recognizing marked cards, for instance? Mike, you better take your cards and go on home. You weren't a little drunk, you know better than to try this on an old-timer like me. And whoever marked those cards didn't even do a clever job at it.
Why, you...
Never mind.
I better have that money, and I'm taking it, I tell you.
Put down that chair! Stop it!
There. I'll show you whether I get my money or not. Mine and a lot more. And you, you dirty wolf. I ought to put a bullet for you. Watch it.
You all right? What's going on in here?
Oh, great.
What's wrong with that dog?
Come on in and shut the door. He can't hurt
you. He's a chain. What's wrong with him?
I hit him over the head with a chair. That's fantastic.
What happened? Didn't the cards work?
He knew they were marked the minute he looked at
them. Why did he get it?
I saw a chance to get more money this way. Now we can take it all. And any more, they're sitting around.
I just didn't have done. The reason I came over here is that after you left the Silver Slipper, a Mountie came in.
A Mountie?
Sergeant Preston, that big dog of his.
How did he happen to get in so late?
This is part of the territory he patrols.
I know that.
And the telephone trail couldn't get here sooner. I heard him talking to someone about dead. I was afraid he'd come in here if he saw a light.
The police happening here, yeah?
I didn't know where it was. Anyway, we better leave fast. If dead get caught.
Wait a minute. He's dead.
I'm sure glad that dog's dead. What's wrong, Mike?
You don't have to worry about dead getting started. I must have hit him too hard. He's dead.
Dead?
You're right, Tracy. We gotta get out of here fast. Something with his money.
I don't want any part of this fight. I'm leaving.
Get along with me, Drake. You help me pick them marked cards. You're in it, too.
I don't want any part of a murder.
You don't come. I know you're a squeal.
No, Mike. I won't.
Look at that gold here on the table. There must be as much hidden in here somewhere. We can take enough supplies right out of this camp and get a good start tonight. Chances are they won't find dead for a few days. That mountain won't come here.
If we leave town without finding out, we'd have a chance. We won't be back here for a couple of weeks.
We'll never have a chance like this again. Now let's take this money and skip. We'll shut the tavern up and people will think Jed's out wouldn't his claim.
We ought to shoot that dog.
No. Everybody knows how fierce he is. Nobody ever comes in this tavern if Jed ain't here to chain him first. It'll keep people from finding Jed.
It looks good, Mike. I'm with you.
Fine. Now, come on now. We're going to look this tavern over and see if we can find the rest of Jed's money.
Not funny.
It was almost morning, and Mike and Drake struggled through huge drifts that had been made by a strong wind and heavy snowfall through the night. Drake was exhausted.
I tell you, Mike, I can't go any farther. My legs, I can't lift them.
I'm tired, too. But this water is the best luck we could have had.
Mark, are you crazy? Float us down. These snowdrifts, we've only made about 10 miles, but nobody can track us.
Drift. I want the sand. Wind blows snow on our tracks right after we make them. There won't be any tracks near this tavern.
I can't go any farther.
Hey, there's a tavern out there on the trail now.
Think we better risk it?
There's no smoke coming from the chimney. Maybe nobody called.
Yeah.
Now listen. Better if nobody knows we're together. You hide behind those trees. I'll go alone and see if anybody's there.
There is? You wait a while. Then come in and say you came from the other direction. They don't know each other, see?
All right, I'll wait here.
Anybody here? Hey! Okay. Come on, it's all right. Nobody cares. You'll hold in here for a few hours and get some sleep.
It was late the following morning when Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police started to leave Moose Crossing to complete his patrol back to Dawson. Jules Leclerc, a French-Canadian trapper, accompanied him. The trail was thick with a heavy snowfall of the night before, and Jules and the Mounties broke the trail ahead of the door. King, Sergeant Preston's big lead dog, was hitched at the head of the team to lend his strength to the straining animals.
He's lucky I can go with you, Sergeant. You'll carry fat and snow like this.
Oh, it will be fine.
Always glad to have company, Jules. Maybe we won't get very far today, though. These trips are bad. Quite a snowstorm we had last night. Jules, is that a dog howling? Listen.
Ooh.
Sounds like it's coming from that cabin just off the trail there.
That Lobo. He's dead more dog. Dead will keep him in the cabin. That dog keeps mostly wolf.
Dead more. I haven't seen old Jed in a long time. When I got the Silver Slipper last night, they said he really cleaned up at poker.
Oh, oui. Last night he was very lucky.
Wonder why that dog's howling so.
Maybe he'd not like to be in a cabin alone.
But he can't be alone. Look, there's a big snowdrift against the door. Jed couldn't have left the cabin. Maybe something's wrong with Jed.
Wait, if you are a smart sergeant, you will not go in the cabin with Lobo Luke. Jed will clean him first when someone comes. That dog will tear you in little pieces.
Going to knock on the door anyway. See if everything's all right.
Okay.
maybe Jed is not go home last night.
Won't do any harm to find out. Wait here, Jones.
Be careful, Sergeant. That dog is very bad.
I'm not afraid of him. Dad? Dad, you home? Dad, cover your foot. Dad? Dad? He's dead.
Sergeant!
Dead here? No, Robo's saying, Jones. Please to come in.
Yes. Something has happened.
He's dead.
Dead? That's right there. This is why Lobo howls.
Somebody killed him. He's hit over the head with that chair.
Look, he's cabin. Everyone's seen up first.
Yes, it's in search. They were probably looking for Jeff's money.
He had lost it last night after that poker game.
Oh, this is odd.
What do you see?
Jeff must have been playing cards. Look. Right there near his hand. Three cards.
No, don't try to get him, Sergeant. They are too near Lobo. He will take your hand off.
That's why the killer couldn't get them. Picked up the rest of it, I just think.
You think maybe them cards, they belong to the man who killed Jed?
Yes. I have to get those cards.
Sergeant, don't go near that dog.
He won't hurt me. No, they're not afraid of him. That dog, Lobo.
Hi, friend. Hey, that dog, he mind you.
Here are the cards.
Come on. Them cards, they are Tony Cutter.
Have you ever played with these cards, Jules?
Me? I don't gamble.
Well, the only clue we have. No covered any trail the man might have made, but I think he left town.
Why you think that, Doctor?
Well, look at those empty shelves. Whoever did this took all the supplies Dad had, as well as his gold. Jules, I think you're going to have to go on to Dawson alone after all. I'm going back to town and see if I can find anyone who recognizes these playing cards. They're not like the kind they use at the Silver Slipper.
Oh, Sergeant, them poor I have. They can wait for trade. Jed is good friend. May I stay and maybe help you, eh?
Suit yourself, Jules. You know this country around here very well. I'd like to have you with me. Oh, you better get Jed's body over on that cart, please. And I'll go back to town and see if I can pick up any information.
In the meantime, Mike and Drake, exhausted from their trip through the snow the night before, slept in the trapper's cabin. Mike awoke as he heard a dog team outside the cabin. Drake, wake up.
What?
Wake up. Trapper owns his cabin at home. Are you awake?
Yeah, I'm awake now.
Now listen to me. We don't know each other, you and me, I mean. He came in here last night at different times and hadn't seen each other before.
Yeah, that's what we plan it is.
We're going in opposite directions when we leave. If you leave before I do and go toward Moose Crossing. Take a circle and wait for me at the next end in the trail. You know what I mean?
Sure, I know.
If we're followed, it'll help to have them think that they're after one man instead of two. Better if nobody connects us. He'd be too easy to identify then.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Now, here he comes. We better be safe.
Yeah.
Howdy. Good morning. Hope you don't mind me using your cabin last night.
Yeah, out of bed. That's what it's for. Fact is, I'm mighty glad to find the fire going. Your partner?
No. I was just about asleep when he came in. Dawn caught him just the way it did me. He's coming from the other direction.
Well, I suppose you want to turn in, don't you?
Yeah, not like yet. I'll get this cart off, and I'll have a cup of hot tea first. Yeah.
Preston left Jules at Jeb's cabin and went back to the Silver Slipper Cafe. Only a few men were in the place, and Barney the bartender looked up in surprise as the mafia entered.
Sergeant! I thought you said you were pulling out early this morning.
I intended to, but there's some information I want first, Barney. Have you ever seen anyone playing poker here with cards like these?
Mm-hmm. Nope. I would like the cards we have here to serve as lippers. Be friendly to all the playing cards here every night. We don't let people play with their own dice. Too much chance of trouble. There's Jim Lally over there, though. He could probably tell you something about it. He'd rather play poker than me.
Oh.
Hey, Lally! Come here,
Lally.
How are you, Lally?
Good, Lally. You play cards with just about everybody in Moose Crossing. Did you ever see these before? They're telling counted tricks.
Yeah, let's see it. Yeah, I'll say I did. Almost lost my shirt that night. I remember them because I said maybe this was my unlucky color.
Who cares, Willie?
They belong to Mike Ellis. I played at his tavern last week.
You're a friend of Mike?
I know him pretty well. I stopped at his tavern this morning to get back some snowshoes he borrowed. He wasn't there.
Uh-huh. What's Mike look like?
Well, he looks like everybody else, I guess. He got a black beard that covers most of his face. He's not tall, he's not short. I don't know.
Do you remember anything more about him, Barney?
That's about as good as everything, Sergeant. Wait a minute. I don't know if this is a test, but I saw him throw a tattoo mark to a man at the bar the other night.
Oh.
He's on his left forearm. I looked at it, too.
What does it look like?
Well, he's got a big snake tattooed around his half leg of the elbow.
Thanks, Barney. That'll help a lot.
Why do you want all this information, Sergeant? You can probably find Mike around here somewhere.
I'm going to look for him here, of course, but I don't think I'll find him in town. Ed Moore was murdered last night.
But that's...
The owner of these cards was the one who murdered him.
Buck and Preston spent most of the day searching for Mike in the town, with no result. As he entered Jed's cabin, Jules was eagerly waiting.
Did you find out something, Sergeant?
These cards belong to Mike Ellis. He's the one we want.
Mike Ellis. I don't know.
He didn't have a very good reputation. Made his living gambling with Mike's cards.
What we do now, Sergeant?
I might make his living gambling, as I said. I doubt that he's head for the wilderness. He's going to get to a big town, and that would mean he takes a trail south.
This trail that goes past the cabin?
Yes. We'll try it anyway. That's all we can do.
What about his wolf dog? Is that him too?
Yes, I'm thinking, Lobo. I'll hit him up with a team.
Be careful, Sergeant. I think maybe I wait outside. Or maybe right here by the door.
Don't worry, Joe. He'll be all right. Come on, Lobo, old boy. You're going with me.
It's better if you shoot him.
He'll get used to me. Right now, I'm going to muzzle him with a throw. That's better. Now, I'll unleash you.
I think now I'll go outside.
Come on, Lobo. You're coming with me. Come on, Lobo. You're tough, old fellow, but I think we're going to be friends.
As Martin Preston had anticipated, it was King that trained Lobo to pull in the traces with the rest of the team. The wolf dog was afraid of King, who was larger and stronger than he, and he was soon following him peacefully, as did the rest of the guards. It was late the following day when the Mountie and Jules approached the cabin of the trapper, where Mike and Grace had taken refuge.
There he's coming. You stop here?
Yes, I think we'd better. Hope we have more luck this time than we did at the other cabin. Mike must have traveled all night if he came this way.
But if this man has not seen me, Mike, you think maybe we better go back and start some other way?
Not yet, Jules. We'll keep on traveling. I'm almost sure he came in this direction. Good evening. I'm Sergeant Preston, Northwest Mounted Police.
Glad to see you, Sergeant. Come in, I'm Pete Morris.
And this is Jules LeClerc, Pete.
I'm Jules. Sit down, make yourselves at home. Would you like some hot tea?
Why, you can't stay that long, thanks. I'm trying to find out if the man I'm after is taking this trail. Have you seen a man with a bushy black beard, or about medium height?
Yes, Sergeant, I've seen three or four like that.
Yes, I know it's not a very good description.
Was he a trapper? I talked to a couple of them.
This man was, well, I guess he was just a gambler. He wouldn't know anything about trapping.
Gambler, you say? Oh, you cannot tell by looking at man if he's playing his cards. Yes, I guess he did have a black beard.
Oh.
Well, yesterday morning I came home early from my trap line. I would have got back the night before except for that bad snowstorm. When I came into my cabin, there were two men sleeping here.
Two men?
Yes. It turned out they weren't together, though. They left at different times and were going in opposite directions. One of them had a black beard, and he was the one who had the card.
Right.
It dropped out of the pocket of his partner. Did that mean he was a gambler, Miss Charlie?
Could you remember what the cards looked like? Were they like this one?
I believe they were. After he picked them up. Yes, that was the color of them, all right.
Those were on the right trail.
That's very good. How can that even lock?
Thanks, Pete. You've helped a lot.
Hey, if you're planning on catching him, you better hurry. He had a long start. There's no way of following his trail, either. The snow covered all the tracks. And anyway, a lot of people use this trail.
We'll get him. Don't worry. Come on, Joe. It was noon 2 days later when Mike and Drake approached the door of Spring Lake. The snow fell steadily and Drake was limping.
Mike, let's camp here. My foot's giving out again. I can't go any farther.
I know what we'll do. You can't sit at the edge of the lake to rest for a while. I'll take you down and go around the shore of the lake and try to get some rabbits or something.
When you come back here?
I know. They look across the lake. You see that tall pine tree?
Yeah?
Well, give me about an hour. I'll go around the shore and do some hunting. You can cut straight across the lake and meet you there. I'll probably have supper with you by the time you get there.
The same time. That lake straight across?
That's where it is. The only reason I'm going around it is to try to get some game. Now, you build a fire here and rest for a while.
You better build it before you leave. I'm not any good at stuff like that.
You get some branches and build it yourself. Here, I need some of these cards here in my pocket. I didn't burn them all. You can light a fire with them. I'll carry the gold and most of the pack. Take your time and come when you're at.
The snow had stopped, and the setting sun, breaking through the clouds, threw long shadows on the trail as Sergeant Preston and Jules approached the shore of Spring Lake later that day.
Do you think maybe he might try cross Spring Lake?
He's lived around here too long to try that. Everybody knows about the warm springs in it. He wouldn't take a chance.
But Mikey's not clever. Maybe he don't know me.
He's talked to plenty of trappers and prospectors and moose crossing.
He's no all right. Look, Sergeant. Someone has camped there. There is dead fire.
Have a look, Joe. Yes, someone built a fire, all right.
Oh, and look. Track leads to the lake.
Wait a minute. Look at this, Joe.
Hmm?
A half-burned playing card. Used it to start his fire.
We can drive the cars in the same direction.
Look at the color.
You're right. Mike is up here. But these tracks lead toward the lake.
Oh, you think he... Joe, look out there about 100 yards. Got a hole in the ice.
Oh, track. They go right through it.
Come on, Joe. Going out there. Three. Might be something.
Just stay here with the thing, James.
Stay here, boy.
These tracks ain't very clear.
It must have started when it stopped snowing about an hour ago. You must have known how treacherous this lake is.
Oh, there's no doubt. We go through hole in the ice. Look, them tracks, they go right through it.
That's all right, Joe. Try any tracks leading away from it. You can see them in the snow. I guess that's the end of my talent.
This time, the Mountie does not get his man.
Well, but he ended up the same. He'd have been hanged for murder if we'd caught him.
This may be better.
Well, may as well go back. At least we know that Mike, one murderer, will never kill again. It was 2 months later. Sergeant Preston had been sent to the town of Selkirk, far south of Dawson City. The Mountie stood at the front window of Sandy McNeil's trading post, talking to Sandy as they looked out at Sergeant Preston's dog team.
That's a fine lot of dogs you got there, Sergeant. Of course, none of them can compare to King lying out there in front.
Never was a finer dog than King.
That second dog is a big fellow. He looks like a wolf.
Oh, that's Lobo. He has a lot of wolf in him.
Ah, is he as vicious as he looks?
He used to be, but he isn't anymore, Sandy. I've worked with him a lot. Now he's one of the best dogs I have.
The words were barely out of the Mountie's mouth when a man came toward the trading post. He passed close to the sergeant's dog team, and suddenly, without warning, Lobo sprang at him, knocking him to the ground and pulling the rest of the dog team into a snarling heap.
Hey, stop that dog and hit him!
Lobo!
Lobo!
Sergeant Preston and Sandy raced out of the store. The King was there before them. He leaped at Lobo, throwing him off the man, whose arm had been torn as he protected his foot. A few minutes later, Sergeant Preston, carrying his medical kit, entered the back room in Sandy's trading post, where Sandy had taken the man whom Lobo attacked. King had followed his master into the store and sat quietly beside the Marty as he took bandages and antiseptics out of his kit.
I'll put your parka right over here, Joe.
Thanks.
I'm sorry my dog is packed, huh? Can't imagine why he did it.
I was just walking past. Not even looking at
him. I'll roll up his sleeve over his left. Oh, that wound's bleeding there.
You sure give him a nasty bite. You'll have to play cards with one hand now, Joe. There's a customer. Call me if you need anything.
Well, he's sticking your arm. There it is.
What? What's the matter?
That tattoo mark has startled me.
That snake's head points right at the tear in my arm. It does look ugly. Glad that bite is on my left arm instead of my right.
I'll have to watch Lobo after this.
Lobo? You mean that's the dog's name? The dog is bitten?
Yes, why? Is that name frightening?
No, I... kind of cheating, I guess.
Mike?
Yeah. My name's not Mike. It's Joe. But the idea of calling me Mike...
You'll answer to it without thinking. You're Mike Ellis.
What? Like, what? What do you mean?
That explains why Lobo attacked you. You murdered his master, Jed Moore.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You shaved your beard off, but I think if I take you back to Moose Crossing, you'll be recognized. You're under arrest.
No, you don't. Pick up your hands.
Get up, Mike. You shouldn't have pulled the gun with my dog watching.
What's going on? Did he attack him too?
This man's a criminal, Sandy. He killed a man who once owned Lobo. You fooled me, Mike. I thought you were dead. But you didn't fool Lobo. He remembered your scent.
That doesn't prove anything. You never saw me before.
The only thing I knew about you was that you had a snake tattooed on your left arm. Lobo helped me find that, too.
But, Sergeant, why did you think he was dead?
Mike can explain that, I think. Who was it that went through the hole in the ice, Mike?
It was Drake, friend of mine. He was the one who done the killing. It was him. He fell through the ice and we were crossing the lake.
That's enough, Mike. You didn't cross that lake. There's only one set of tracks. I warn you, anything you say will be used against you. You're under arrest for the murder of Jed Ellis. Yes, King, this case is closed.
The Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature, is a George W. Trendle production, directed by Fred Faraday and written by Mildred Merrill. The part of Sergeant Preston was played by Paul Sutton. All names and incidents used are fictitious. Listen again next week to another exciting adventure during the days of the Gold Rush. Fred Ford speaking. This program came to you from Detroit. Saturday night, though, not on your life if you keep company with ABC, we've a lineup of shows to keep you entertained from early in the evening until it's time to go out and get the Sunday morning papers. For Mystery a la Mode, Ross Golan Detective is on hand Saturday night. And when Ross seeks to solve a crime, it means 30 minutes of solid action and suspense. Speaking of suspense, wait till you hear Famous Jury Trials, the stirring courtroom program that dramatizes typical American jury trials. Then there's Gangbusters, with true crime cases straight from police files all over the country. Murder and Mr. Malone is another tense mystery that's bound to keep you sitting on the edge of your chair as that famous criminal lawyer, John J. Malone, tackles a case of murder. For smashing thrills from early to late Saturday night, be sure to listen when these great shows are broadcast over most ABC stations. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Well, sir, we have not only run down the clock, we have run it over. We are running late, everybody. So I hope you had a good time tonight. I certainly did. And I'll see you all on the radio tomorrow night with old Tricky Rick, Rick Sapphire. He's going to be here tomorrow night, and so will I. And I'm going to be disappointed if you're not here. So let's have a date, okay?
Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of OTRWesterns.com. Want you to send me an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes site now, formatted for mobile devices, OTRWesterns.com. Call, leave me a voicemail, 707-986-8739. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/OTRWesterns. And we can't forget Twitter, @OTRWesterns. Don't forget to rate this podcast. Just search iTunes for OTR Westerns. You'll find all of our shows within one nice feed. and subscribe to each one independently and leave feedback. That helps me out, lets me know what you guys think, and lets others find the podcast a lot easier. This podcast is copyright 2012 under the attribution non-commercial share-alike copyright. For more information, go to otrwesterns.com/copyright. That's it. Have a great day. Again, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed.